So I'm going to propose my own four premises, each of which is more plausible than its denial, though not perhaps more plausible than the denial of panpsychism: material composition, realism, non-reductionism, and non-emergence. I think any non-panpsychist is going to have to deny one of those four. The purpose of this is to make it clear where we disagree specifically. It should go without saying that the conclusion seems ridiculous, but it'll be helpful for everyone involved to be able to identify which premise they reject, or which step along the way they think is mistaken. 1. Material composition. To quote Nagel, no constituents besides matter are needed. So the monism is sort of implied. You could argue that these two should be separated, so we'd have a monism premise and a materialism premise, but for now I'm happy to let material composition imply monism. Human beings are composed of matter, nothing more and nothing less. 2. Realism. Consciousness is real and not an illusion. I've only mentioned it in passing, but some philosophers, like Dan Dennett, Brian Farrell, Keith Frankish, and Richard Rorty, actually deny that it's really like something to exist. Experience is a sort of illusion. They have reasons for saying this, but I agree with Galen Strawson that this is the silliest claim that has ever been made. 3. Non-reductionism. That it's like something to be is irreducible. Consciousness is not just another way of talking about matter. Speaking in the language of molecules, for example, is just a way of talking about collections of matter. The atom isn't some kind of ontologically separate thing from the protons, neutrons, and electrons that make it up. Atoms are entirely reducible to their component parts. Consciousness, however, that it's like something to be, is not just another way of talking about. It really appears that something novel has emerged. 4. Non-emergence. Strong or radical emergence, as we discussed in the hard problem episode, is not possible. The only sensible version of emergence is weak emergence, which allows for different ways of talking about collections of matter. But the whole is never greater than the sum of its parts in actuality. Nothing truly new is coming into existence at different scales of emergence. Everything is reducible to the level below it. Biology is reducible to chemistry. Chemistry is reducible to physics. And going in the other direction, we can talk about protons, neutrons, and electrons, and we can talk about atoms. No new ingredients have been added when atoms come into being. We've simply found a helpful way of talking about clusters of protons, neutrons, and electrons. The bottom line is that strong or radical emergence is incoherent. So those are my four premises, each of which is fairly unobjectionable, but together, once they sink in, seem to lead to a strange conclusion. The basic physical constituents of the universe have mental properties. You can reject any one of those four premises to avoid the conclusion, but they each come with a cost. So what happens when we reject the first premise, material composition? The denial of the first premise results in dualism. The denial of the second, realism, allows one to be an eliminativist, or a philosophical behaviorist. You say that consciousness is an illusion. Many contemporary philosophers take this escape route. The denial of the third, non-reductionism, forces us to accept that consciousness is just another way of talking about matter, just like atoms are a way of talking about collections of subatomic particles. It would mean that consciousness is only real in a limited sense. The denial of the third premise would mean that a bit of matter with experience is reducible to a bit of matter without experience. The second and third premises, realism and non-reductionism, are closely linked. To say that consciousness isn't fundamental, yet still makes sense following the rules of weak emergence, requires you to either assert that consciousness is an illusion, or to assert that it's only real in the sense that tables and chairs are real, which is to assert that experience is an illusion. You have to deny that qualia are what they really seem to be, something entirely new that weren't there before. The rejection of the fourth premise, non-emergence, means that you accept radical emergence, which is incoherent. The rejection of the first and fourth premises are tantamount to a rejection of the rational intelligibility of the universe, arguably the rejection of the second and third are as well, to some degree. And I think the escape routes most materialists opt for are the denial of the third or fourth premise. They accept that humans are made of matter, nothing more, and they accept that conscious experience is real, but they believe qualitative, conscious experience emerged. It wasn't there, on the lower levels, electrons aren't conscious, and then it appears when you arrange a bunch of non-conscious matter. And this is only possible if there's not an irreducibly qualitative aspect of consciousness, or if radical emergence is possible. But this is a reason to conclude that either the system has further constituents of which we are not yet aware, or the constituents of which we are aware have further properties that we have not yet discovered.